One of the key election issues is the surging cost of living, and it's also the major focus of financial markets here and around the world. Australia's latest inflation data came out this week and is expected to show the biggest price increases in nearly 14 years. ABC business reporter Michael Yanda is one of our regular Monday finance commentators. Michael, lovely to speak to you.
Morning, PK.
Just how much are economists expecting prices to have risen in the March quarter, and what's been driving the increase?
Look, to give you an example, Westpac put out its forecasts last week, and it's expecting headline CPI, the inflation figure, to jump 2% just in the March quarter. So that's in the first 3 months of this calendar year, and almost 5% over the year, 4.9%. Now, that is towards the top end of the mainstream market forecasts. AMP, to give you an example, is expecting 1.7% and 4.6%. But even if the headline forecasts are a little bit different, they're still both very, very high. And the forecast for underlying inflation between the two is the same and similar to what most people on the market are expecting, which is 1.2%. And 3.4% over the year. Now, this is the important number because it's the one that takes out all the most volatile price increases, like that big increase in fuel prices we had ahead of the excise cut. And it's the one the Reserve Bank looks at when trying to set interest rates. And in terms of what is going up most in price, of course, fuel in the first 3 months of the year, up almost 11% is Westpac's forecast. The other big ones, fruit and vegetables, expected to be up 6.6% over the first 3 months of the year. And anyone who's been to the greengrocer recently would have seen that. And new home building is the other one. And that's a big contributor to the inflation figures overall. And that's expected to jump 5.4% on Westpac's forecasts. But the interesting thing, PK, is the economists at Westpac have told me that pretty much everything in the basket is going up, except maybe audiovisual and computer equipment, which is a perennial fall in price due to the improvements in performance.
Mm. How do these price increases rate historically, and what happened with interest rates back then?
Look, whoever's forecasts are right, this will be the highest headline inflation reading since September 2008, right before the start of the global financial crisis. Back then, the ABS clocked a headline number of 5%. Westpac's chief economist, Bill Evans, says underlying inflation also hasn't been rising anywhere near this strongly since just before that global financial crisis in 2007-2008.
That, of course, was a time when underlying inflation jumped from 2.9% to 3.6%. We're talking about 3.4% this time, with a likely further increase in the next quarter. And the central bank was so worried about that jump from 2.9 to 3.6 that they actually raised interest rates twice in February and March of 2008 after having got that December quarter number. And bear in mind, at the time, we realised that the world was facing a financial crisis, and yet the Reserve Bank was prepared to push rates hard because of their concern about inflation.
And remind people what interest rates were, the cash rate was back in 2007-08.
Well, they increased the rate in February and March from 6.75% to 7.25%. So the rate was well above whatever we thought was neutral at the time, whereas now, of course, at 0.1, we're a long way below neutral. Neutral is lower now than it was in that period, but it's certainly well below neutral at this stage. So the signal to start raising rates at this level of rates, of course, is much, much clearer than it was back in that period.
Bill Evans there. So, Michael, what are the current forecasts for interest rates in light of this expected jump in inflation?
Well, PK, we've seen a huge scramble of economists bringing forward their forecasts of interest rate hikes. A lot of economists were expecting the first one to come later this year. Of course, only 6 months ago or so, we were expecting on communication from the Reserve Bank that we might not see a rate increase till 2024. But the consensus now is very much for a June rate hike. Almost everyone has that penciled in as the first rate rise. There's a few who think a May rate hike might still be a slim chance if inflation comes in around these high levels Westpac is predicting. But Bill Evans doesn't think a stronger consumer price index will mean a pre-election rate hike in May.
And so I think...
We're expecting that the first move will be on the 7th of June. We did expect that they'd only go by 0.15, but now with this much stronger inflation environment, much stronger labour market, I think the need is there to go faster than that. So a first move of 0.4 and then settle back into 0.25 moves in most of the months between now and the end of the year.
From your point of view, if the RBA does go by 40 basis points in June, is that something of a signal that it would have started raising rates more gently in May if not for the election being in the way?
No, I think they've indicated that they want to see more evidence on wages, and that happens on the 18th and 19th of May. So they need that extra time.
And so if wages do still continue to disappoint on the downside in terms of growth and the lagging well behind inflation, there is still some chance the Reserve Bank might hold off a bit longer.
I don't think so. The annual wage number is likely to print at around about 2.5%, which is below the Reserve Bank governor's informal target of 3%. But if we look at the momentum of wages, that will be reaching 3%. If we look at a broader measure of wages that includes bonuses, and that's how a lot of employers have been keeping their workers, that's already at 3%. That'll be above that number, I expect. I don't think there's any doubt that the pressures in the labour market are now starting to show up in wages as well. So the idea of waiting in the face of these very, very high inflation numbers, I think, is unlikely.
That's Westpac's chief economist, Bill Evans, and it does seem hard to tally how the RBA can be waiting for wages and JobStarter to come out later in May, but would ignore it if it was disappointing and below expectations. It does raise the question of why not just raise rates in May, but I think, PK, we can all guess what the main reason for that in practice is.
Yeah, well, there's an election and politics, but the RBA has to be apolitical, so it will be really interesting to see the way they respond. We'll be watching very closely.
And of course, the interesting historical analogy there is that 2007 period where the Reserve Bank did indeed raise interest rates just before that election, and that was sort of seen as the final nail in the coffin for John Howard's election campaign.
I remember it so closely. Yes, it was very contentious. All right, what else should we be looking out for on the markets this week, Michael?
Look, it was a big day on Wall Street on Friday. It might just be as well for the Australian share traders that the market is closed for the Anzac Day holiday today, because Wall Street plunged. It was down 2.8% for the Dow Jones Index. That's its worst fall in about a year and a half. The S&P 500 was off the same amount, but that was only its worst day since last month, because it's been on tear downwards. And for a change, the Nasdaq on the day outperformed the other two, only falling 2.6%, but it did fare worst for the week, off nearly 4%. The S&P 500 off 2.8% last week overall, and the Dow Jones off almost 2% after that big fall on Friday. And PK, the sell-offs was driven by what we've been talking about here in Australia. Same thing over there, but much worse. Inflation and interest rate hikes. The US Central Bank looks increasingly likely to hike by 50 basis points at its next meeting, which is also in the first week of May, along with the RBA. And then maybe again by that much in the middle of June. So that's a double-sized rate increase, potentially back-to-back. Raising interest rates, of course, is poison for the share market, especially speculative companies with no or very small profits and very high valuations. As rates rise, of course, it provides an alternative to get some returns on your savings without having to invest in very risky stocks. And something else seen as very risky is the Australian dollar, linked to both commodity markets but also general economic sentiment and market sentiment. And as that sentiment's fallen, so has the Australian dollar. And Australia also looks like getting but left behind the other big central banks on interest rates. So the Aussie is down and trading around 72.5 US cents this morning.
Michael, always love your very comprehensive reports. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, PK.
ABC Business reporter Michael Yander there.